and know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This portion of Your Talk Show is brought to you by Cedar Crest, where active seniors live the life they want. Your community, your opinions, your forum. This is Your Talk Show on News Radio 1230 WCLO. The opinions expressed by Your Talk Show hosts do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the station or Bliss Communications. The open line phone number is 752-4000. Please remember that all calls will be live on the air. Now, here's the host of Your Talk Show, Tim Bremmel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, strap in. Going to be an information overload Tuesday, starting in just a few minutes with the Supreme Court nominee, Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Apparently out there, if you're a Democrat, you must hate him. If you are a Republican, you must love him. So I hope you are all huddled in your masses, plotting how to undo whatever the other group is doing, okay? Because that's what all the pundits are now telling us we must do. And boy, my email was just, I still didn't get to them all. And it's not like any one candidate or any one representative needed to release a statement each, because their statements were all basically identical. On the left, they hate him. On the right, they love him.
Okay.
I guess we're not surprised by that, right? I'm not. Tom, big surprise to you? No?
No big surprise. Did you watch by any chance?
I didn't. I had a bunch of other stuff going on last night, and I was also editing our gubernatorial candidate interviews. Uh-huh. So I thought, well, it's an announcement. I'll just catch it in the morning.
Right. It's not like it's 25 years ago.
Well, I wondered. I mean, just because it was Donald Trump doing it, I wondered if there wouldn't be like some curtain and a drum roll, and the curtain would part and the name would drop down. But I guess it wasn't.
It was actually very presidential.
Yeah, which, which on occasion he pulls off. Okay. Gail Trotter is an attorney and spokeswoman for the Judicial Crisis Network. She makes public appearances. She's got a BA and a JD from the University of Virginia. Well-qualified legal mind. I don't even know what that means anymore, in all honesty. But she will offer us some commentary. She is, in full disclosure, a guest from the Republican National Committee's list of people to comment on this. So we'll get what you've already been hearing, a little bit of analysis there, and then we may move on. At 9:45, important info. So get a pen and paper handy, or your iPad, or your whatever it is you take notes on these days, basically. The Milwaukee Brewers have asked for our help. We have responded because they have given us lots of good tickets. So we are going to talk about how to get Jesus Aguilar on the National League All-Star Team at 9:45 with Milwaukee Brewers voice Lane Grindle at 9:45, and more open phones after 10. So big show coming your way on WCLO. We'll be right back.
Have you had a chance to check out the extensive drink list at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison? They have blonde ales, brown ales, IPAs, double IPAs, Belgian IPAs, porters, stouts, American pale lagers, light lagers, shandies, ciders. Whew, I could go on, but I only have 30 seconds to talk. I mean, I haven't even mentioned the wine and liquor selection. Stop in and get served your favorite beverage at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
Keep your beverages chilled this summer with your free Yeti cooler. Enter to win when you text PRIZE to 30364. Join Race to Savings and pick up a free Red Bull from your neighborhood stop and go when texting PRIZE to 30364.
As the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, Rural Mutual is excited to announce the new Rural Mutual Farm Dividend Program, the first of its kind in the state. We know how hard you work, so we want to reward you. Rural Mutual's Farm Dividend Program rewards farmers for their loyalty and dedication with up to a 5% dividend. And since we only do business in Wisconsin, premiums paid here stay here to keep Wisconsin strong. To learn more about Rural Mutual's Farm Dividend Program and how you may qualify, contact a rural agent or visit ruralmutual.com.
Proud to be the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association's Media Market News Talk Station of the Year for the fourth consecutive year. WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
Welcome back to the program. We are joined on the telephone now by attorney and spokeswoman for the Judicial Crisis Network, Gail Trotter, who can explain to us exactly why everybody is so happy or tremendously upset with the Supreme Court nominee that President Trump announced last night. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Well, we know you're coming at this from the Republican side, which that's apparently all there is anymore, is one side or the other. So my question is, are we in a place where we may not anymore even be able to get a nominee across the finish line? I don't care which side of the aisle it's picked from at this point, with the nuclear option already being taken care of in the Senate, so it only requires 51 votes, but we have such a narrow spread there between Republicans and Democrats. Is this thing now simply a party line deal and the qualifications don't matter?
The hope is not, and I hope I'm speaking to you today from the constitutional side and not the Republican side, and the same principles, as you're just saying, should apply to Democratic nominees and Republican nominees. I think if there's any single philosophical issue when we're looking at this nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, it should be a commitment and respect to the rule of law, to the Constitution, to the idea that the Supreme Court should be at the part of the judiciary branch and not part of the legislative branch. And I think you will see Democratic senators, particularly those coming from states that went for President Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election, respecting the superior qualifications of Judge Kavanaugh and the fact that he is a thought leader in legal circles, and he has been on the bench for 12 years. He's written over 300 opinions, many of which the reasoning has been adopted by the Supreme Court, including some of his dissents. And I think that you will see that there is bipartisan support for this nominee, Judge Kavanaugh, and that's the way it should be because he is extremely qualified. And he has superior academic credentials, too. He went to Yale University for college. He went to Yale Law School. He was hired by Elena Kagan before she was on the Supreme Court when she was still in charge of Harvard Law School. She hired him to teach at Harvard Law School. You look at Yale University, one of the liberal professors there who publicly said that he supported Hillary Clinton. He has publicly also stated that Judge Kavanaugh, except for justices sitting on the Supreme Court right now, he is the most credentialed person, the most qualified person to be appointed to the Supreme Court. So I think you are going to see some crossover from the Democratic Party with great justifications based on this superior candidate.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting several months here before we actually get to the vote as the process takes place. Gail, I wanted to ask you, how much of a deal is this argument that's been put forth about a Supreme Court justice upholding precedent of decisions the court has previously made?
Right. Well, definitely Supreme Court justices generally try not to reverse law at the Supreme Court level unless they believe that the original ruling was wrongly decided. And in some cases, that's a good thing. We are happy that Supreme Court cases that did not treat African Americans as human beings and did not respect the dignity of the human person were reversed, that the Supreme Court does have the option to reverse decisions that were wrongly decided, that were not based on the Constitution or the rule of law. But certainly there is a long tradition of respecting prior precedents, prior decisions of the Supreme Court, and that shouldn't be taken lightly. Old decisions should not be wantonly overturned just because of political differences or, you know, different fashions of legal thought, but only in the very extreme cases where they have seen that the legal reasoning of the prior decision was flawed, or the fact that there's some countermanding principle that was not observed in the prior opinion.
Now, as it relates to that, because I know it seems like, I mean, there's becoming a little bit longer list as the positioning is starting to happen here as to why people will be told to oppose this nominee. Judge Kavanaugh apparently did applaud the dissent on the Roe versus Wade decision, as I understand it, which would give some folks pause to say, well, maybe then he is a guy that would overturn this precedent.
If you want to look at the history of Roe v. Wade, there are many people, legal minds on the left, and very knowledgeable people at the top law schools around the country who admit that not only admit, but actually speak out and say that Roe was illogical, it was bad law, badly decided. But it's been on the books since 1973, and even that core holding in Roe v. Wade has changed over the years. We had a very important case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which upheld the nugget of Roe v. Wade, but certainly changed some of the ancillary laws around the Roe v. Wade hearing holding. And I think you will see that going forward. This is one case and one issue that will continue to be hotly contested in our country. And the question comes down to, do you have someone on the Supreme Court who respects the process, who respects the Constitution, and who does not want to see the Supreme Court to become a political body, but instead wants to make sure that the Supreme Court justices are impartial arbiters who don't try to insert their public policy preferences through the law sitting on the court as nine unelected, unaccountable justices, but instead want to make sure that they are interpreting the law instead of legislating from the bench.
The Supreme Court it seems to have been sort of inundated in past years with a lot of cases that are, what do I want to call them, have more emotion-based than fact-based, maybe, things like that. And some of the decisions that the court just handed down, Gail, in its last series of rulings, a lot of people were disappointed by, say, they punted. I looked at those and thought, personally, and you tell me if I'm off base here, but some of the ones where they punted on, like redistricting and the cake shop case, they felt that at that point it wasn't their duty to legislate from the bench, so to speak, and they kicked them back to lower courts because ultimately that's where they felt they belonged, and ultimately a lawmaking process should take care of some of these things, rather than the Supreme Court. Am I off base there in that assessment?
Right. Well, I think that reflects that there are two things going on there. There's the philosophical point that leads to that result, and then there's the pragmatic point that leads to that result. I'll start with the pragmatic. You're trying to craft enough justices who agree to the reasoning of an opinion so that you can get to a result. So particularly, like, for example, the Masterpiece Cake case that was decided. A lot of people were unhappy that the decision didn't go further, mm-hmm. particularly in that case. And the truth is that when you look at a case like that, you're trying to make sure that you have enough justices agreeing with the outcome and with the rationale that you can have a decision that goes in the direction that you want it to go. Now, on the philosophical point that we're making related to this as well, the Supreme Court generally tries to have narrow rulings. they want to leave space for Americans to decide these issues through getting out the vote, through getting people elected, through pushing their policy positions. They want to preserve the freedom that Americans have to govern themselves. So on that philosophical point, in some of these decisions you're talking about, the Supreme Court is hesitant to have these huge, overweening types of decisions that take it out of the national discussion, take it out of the political realm, and insert the opinions of nine justices who have life tenure and are not accountable to the electorate to make those decisions for them in a process that is not how the system was set up, with the idea that the judiciary is not supposed to be a political body.
Well, and it's become all everything, but it is a political body now. To most people out there, they view this just as much as they do voting for a Democratic or a Republican representative, except that they don't have a vote in this, so they have to make one step past, basically, and help decide the court by who they elect as their elected officials and president. So I know that's where we're at. When they talk about Judge Kavanaugh, most of the talk I've heard early is he is a constitutionalist, for lack of a better term here.
Yeah.
And one would think, sitting here, at least I'm not going to speak for all my listeners out there, but the Constitution is the governing document of America, and that's what we should be using to hold up these cases as they come. But it seems to me that we are beginning to split along ideological lines, and that's what's being inserted into the Supreme Court discussion, in that, is the Constitution always the law of the land, or is it this living, breathing document that's meant to be, kind of changed as the whims of social prowess change?
Right, and you're going to see that from the Democrats in the Senate and the Democrats at the national level who are going to oppose Judge Kavanaugh in this confirmation proceeding. They want it to be a living constitution. They want it to be a political win. Those who don't favor that don't want the Supreme Court to impose their views on the rest of the American people without going through the political process that we have set up. I think you are going to continue to see that there will be character assassination of Judge Kavanaugh. You'll see distortions of his record. You'll see outright lies about his positions on different issues. And we have seen this playbook before. This was utilized by the left against Ronald Reagan's first nominee, who was a woman, to the Supreme Court, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. We saw this used against Anthony Kennedy when he was nominated. We saw it used against Justice David Souter when he was nominated, that they would overturn Roe v. Wade. And yet, all three of those justices upheld the core ruling of Roe v. Wade. So you're going to hear that from the left, but it is impossible for them to say how any particular person is going to rule once they're on the Supreme Court. We have nine justices on the Supreme Court right now, only one of whom has explicitly said that if he had the opportunity, he would overturn Roe v. Wade. And we have seen that that been the case with Republican nominees previously. So this is a common tactic that we've seen from the left. They're going to continue to go, hard on this effort, but the logic and history has proven them wrong.
Well, and in making this sort of a choice, regardless of what you think about the president at this point, a president makes a choice. The background, the decisions that have already been made, the experience, all those things that you talk about seem to me to be what people ought to be assessing. You're right, and I agree with you, this whole idea that, basically, if I look at some of the press releases, not only has he already been seated on the court, but he has already made like a dozen decisions that adversely affect some ideologies out there. And obviously, that's just a prediction and a hype to get this discussion roaring, and that'll happen. But when it comes down to actually choosing a candidate for the Supreme Court, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, I know there was politics being played even in the Merrick Garland nomination, But there were a number of Republicans that looked at Merrick Garland and said, no, his qualifications, you know, the body of his work so far and those kinds of things seemed to be reasonably suited for a Supreme Court justice.
Right, right. Absolutely, that was the case. And you know that the difference with that situation was we were going straight into a presidential mm-hmm. election. And when they did exit polls from the 2016 presidential election, they asked voters, what was the primary reason that you decided to vote today? And one out of five people said Supreme Court vacancies and Supreme Court nominations. And of those one out of five people, 58% of them chose to vote for Donald Trump. So certainly that is part of our process. You vote for a president that you believe will nominate justices or judges to the Supreme Court that you think will best align with your view of how the justice should comport himself on the bench. And in this situation, we are going into a midterm election. It's not a presidential election. And when President Barack Obama faced a vacancy during his term before a midterm election, not a presidential election, he nominated Elena Kagan, who was confirmed by the Supreme Court. So it is a different situation than what the Democrats would lead you to believe about it being exactly the same as the situation with Merrick Garland.
Sure. All right. Now, Gail, before I let you go, let me do one thing that I know attorneys hate me doing. Let me ask you to speculate. Do you see Judge Kavanaugh as being confirmed ultimately, or do you see this fight going on past the midterms?
I think he will be confirmed, and I think he will be confirmed before the Supreme Court goes back into session, which is in October of this fall, which, like you said, is also before the midterm elections happen. I will predict that I think you will see Democratic senators from states that carried President Trump. They will honor their constituents' views, and they will vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh. He has impeccable credentials. He has been well-revered in legal thought circles. He is on the D.C. Circuit right now, which is considered the second highest court in the land because of the complexity of the issues that they deal with, and it's a feeder court for the Supreme Court. And I think that you will also benefit, everyone will benefit from the over 300 opinions that Judge Kavanaugh has written. So it's very clear what his judicial philosophy. And I think many Democrats will resist the siren call of the National Democratic Policy Party position to oppose him by all means necessary, and will do the right thing and vote to confirm him.
All right. Well, the passage of time will tell. Gail Trotter, I appreciate your time this morning and helping us sort some of the facts out.
Yes, and if you'd like to learn more about Judge Kavanaugh, go to confirmkavanaugh.com.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for your time this morning. We will take a break here on your talk show. And when we come back, a little more analysis from CBS on the Supreme Court pick. And then we're off to the Brewers at 9:45 with Lane Grindle on your talk show on WCLO.
Culver's all-new spicy, crispy chicken sandwich is made with the same premium chicken you know and love, hand-breaded with a four-pepper blend of spices. Try one while it's around. They're only available for a limited time. It pairs perfectly with Culver's silky smooth and oh-so-rich chocolate shake, handcrafted with Culver's fresh frozen custard, real Wisconsin dairy, and rich chocolate syrup. With milk supplied by more than 100 family farms. Stop in today to your local community-minded Rock County Culver's in Janesville, Newville, and Beloit.
The Janesville VFW invites you to lunch any weekday. They're open to the public, you know. Be sure that you're listening to WCLO every Monday and Wednesday between 11:30 and noon to win some of their famous fish dinners for free. And check out the VFW for lunch, too, with WCLO Janesville Beloit.
It's the Ford Summer Sales Event. And now, while selection is best, it's the best time to buy. With amazing offers across a full lineup of Ford vehicles, now is the time to make summer go right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. Stop by a local Ford store or shop online at buyfordnow.com, because there is no better time than right now to get behind the wheel of a new Ford during the Ford Summer Sales Event. The Ford Summer Sales Event is here. Right now, get 0% APR financing for 60 months plus 1,000 bonus cash on the 2018 EcoSport. Best-selling claim based on 2017 calendar year sales. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. For all offers, take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by 7/31/18. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for qualifications and details.
I'm Donald Driver, and I always wear a seatbelt, and so does everyone who rides with me.
I'm John from Racine, and I never wear a seatbelt.
Well, that's unfortunate, John, because even a car crash at 15 miles per hour without wearing a seatbelt can feel like being hit by a 300-pound lineman.
Oh, man.
And to add insult to injury, in Wisconsin, you can get pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt, and you will get a ticket.
Who hit me?
So take it from a driver. Click it or ticket.
Protect yourself and your passengers. Buckle up. Every trip, every seat. Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association's News Talk Station of the Year for the fourth consecutive year. WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
All right, trying to give you information. I can't say it's non-biased because all you got to do is say Supreme Court nominee and it's biased these days. I don't know how else to deal with that, gang. I wish I did. It's everybody's going to view it differently, and that's fine. So you heard a little bit from Gail Trotter. CBS News also had some commentary that they shared with us. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum is talking with Bill Rieckhoff about the pick for the Supreme Court, and this will give you just a little bit, you know, of a different perspective from another legal analyst and help you maybe kind of digest what's going on there.
I'm Bill Rieckhoff, CBS News in Washington. We're joined by CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum talking about the pick of Brett Kavanaugh to succeed Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court. Your initial reaction, Mr. Rosenbaum, to the pick?
Surprised, and only because President Trump assured us that we would be surprised. And this was not a surprising pick. he's extremely qualified. He's a former Kennedy clerk himself. He's been on the court longer than any of the other potential nominees. There's far more of a paper trail that he's left so that we know more about him. His credentials are superb. And so that when his name first was emerged as a possible nominee, he seemed like the obvious choice. But then, of course, we spent the last 10 days being treated to a kind of reality TV apprentice meets the royal wedding attempt at selecting a Supreme Court justice. And I think President Trump diverted our attention. But this was obviously his man from the beginning, and he brought his man to the country today.
And he's been on the Circuit Court of Appeals now for a number of years, over 10 years. But before that, he worked in the Bush White House. He made references to this in his acceptance speech tonight at the White House, talking about having worked there on 9/11. But even before that, it's reported that he helped to draft the letters of impeachment against Bill Clinton. So he's had his hand in federal work for quite some time, not just on the bench, but in the trenches, as it were.
Well, he's immensely qualified. But, you know, the point that you made, Bill, a moment ago about his work for George W. Bush, there were those who thought that that would be an impediment to him being selected because of President Trump's well-known enmity towards the Bush family. So there were people who thought, you know, this is not going to be a Trump man because he's comes from the Bush White House. There is a small anecdote that I don't know how much has been made known of this. But even after his period of time in the Bush White House, he ended up writing a law review article in which he spoke about the powers of the presidency and how the president, despite his work in the Starr investigation and the impeachment of Bill Clinton, he said, well, you know, I don't think the president should be immune to all criminal and civil prosecutions because he or she is simply too busy and can't be bothered with this. And so one wonders whether, in light of the Mueller investigation and the possibility that this might eventually end up in the Supreme Court, that the president, in fact, hedged his bets and said, well, look, I've got one guy on record that he doesn't think a president should be sued at all while he's in office. And I don't know how often people have brought this up, but it is an interesting anecdote.
And we'll set the stage for some interesting discussion about that during his confirmation hearings. We're with CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum, and used the word impediment a little bit ago. And some have suggested that Judge Kavanaugh's lengthy record and the volume of his decisions may actually be an impediment against his nomination. Some have thought that it might actually work against him, as there's so much material to go through, as opposed to another pick that might not have the record that he does.
Happens all the time, Bill. President Obama knew this when he selected Justice Kagan. Elena Kagan was never a judge before. And even as a law professor, wrote very little. I mean, you know, she had this incredible resume, but it was built to be a Supreme Court justice because she was on record so infrequently that during her nomination process, no one could challenge her based on her prior writings and find her to be ideologically unacceptable. Here you have, and by the way, Senator McConnell told the president, he said, hey, if you pick Kavanaugh, it's going to be a much tougher confirmation hearing. Because there's going to be people pouring through all of those opinions that he's written, trying to find those little things to challenge him during the hearings. And so the president heard that advice, and he could have picked Judge Barrett, who'd only been a judge for 9 months, although she'd been a law professor and had some writings there. But had he picked her or Hardiman, there would have been far less of a paper trail.
And my last question to you, Mr. Rosenbaum, is that, you know, there is talk about how judges get to the Supreme Court and the guy you thought you nominated doesn't turn out to be the guy who winds up on the bench in terms of their opinion and how they vote and that sort of thing. They kind of evolve a little bit, and sometimes they don't go in the direction you expect them to do. What do you think about Judge Kavanaugh in that regard?
Well, in that regard, Kavanaugh might actually be more like Justice Roberts, who I think for some conservatives has been a disappointment. They both come from the D.C. Circuit. They both had impeccable long careers as federal appellate judges. They both had a strong independence of mind and a kind of conservative economic agenda and regulatory agenda. They did not have a social conservative agenda. And that's certainly something President Trump's base cares about. I would not be surprised if Kavanaugh ended up being one of those judges that became more of a swing vote in his career. And you're quite right. Justices evolve over their careers. Justice Souter essentially became a liberal. Justice White became a conservative. It happens all the time. Not all of them have the kind of firmness of conviction. Some of them say, look, I'm growing in the job. I'm always open to new ways of thinking about the law. I actually think that's healthier. But presidents don't want that. Presidents want, in this instance, I think President Trump wanted another Gorsuch. He did not want another Kennedy.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joining us. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
And I'm Bill Rakoff, CBS News.
Thanks, Bill. So there's a little bit more perspective, giving you at least some of the factual basis for discussion going forward here. I don't have any objection to people having discussions about the factual basis. I encourage that. I want that to happen. This idea that we had pre-printed signs saying stop, the top four, there were pre-printed signs for each of them already ready to go. There were press releases with a fill-in-the-blank thing already. They didn't care. We're just going to stop them at all costs. That kind of stuff I don't think is productive. I don't care where it comes from. These kinds of things hopefully give you some things for consideration, and we'll see how the process goes. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to switch entirely, so get your baseball caps on and your pencils out and help the Brewers get Jesus Aguilar to the National League All-Star team. We'll be right back on your talk show.
Are you considering a move to a retirement community, but overwhelmed with the thought of downsizing? On Friday, July 20th at 1 p.m., come to Cedar Crest for a free presentation by the professionals from Segways. You'll learn tips on the best ways to organize, clean, declutter, and downsize as you prepare for a move. Presenters will explain how to decide what to keep, gift, sell, donate, or recycle. Attendees will learn why Cedar Crest is the community of choice for South Central Wisconsin seniors. Come to Cedar Crest for the presentation. Enjoy complimentary refreshments and take a tour of their 1- and 2-bedroom apartments. Take the worry out of your future at Cedar Crest with numerous social events, amenities, and access to care when you need it. Cedar Crest provides a relaxed living environment with endless opportunities to make new friends. Call Ben at 373-6304 to RSVP for the July 20th event or go to cedarcrestlife.com to register. Cedar Crest, home happens here.
There are lots of things to love about the 2018 Toyota RAV4. Just ask the people who bought one, but be prepared to get an earful. They might mention its versatile build and flexible cargo space. They'll probably rave about its available heated front seats, sport-tuned suspension, and all-wheel drive with dynamic torque control. But the one thing they absolutely won't stop talking about comes standard. The RAV4 suite of advanced safety features, which includes a pre-collision system with pedestrian detection and lane departure alert with steering assist. It's a brilliant bit of technology that helps you respond to changing road conditions. It helps keep you safe without sacrificing performance. And it doesn't cost anything extra. You love it already, don't you? Tested, trusted, Toyota. Discover more to love at your local Toyota dealer or visit buyatoyota.com to learn more. Toyota, let's go places.
Lane departure alert and pre-collision systems are not a substitute for safe and attentive driving practices.
This fan update is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Find your win during another exciting Brewers promotion.
Goodwill is once again offering half-price tickets in Section 238 of the left field loge bleachers for most Brewers home games. To secure club Goodwill tickets, visit left field ticket window number 40 as soon as the ballpark gates open. Learn more at Brewers.com.
Stay tuned for more Brewers baseball presented by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Find your win at Pottawatomie.
Wait, I'll find it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, oh, you go ahead, Tom. I'll muddle through here. We have a interesting opportunity here, I guess I will call it, to shape the National League All-Star team by making your voices heard in a vote that is not political. Whoa, imagine. Imagine. You have heard, no doubt, of Jesus Aguilar. He's one of five candidates for the Camping World All-Star Final Vote, and this is our last chance to elect a member of the Brewers to the National League All-Star team. You can vote on this, and here to tell us exactly how this all came about in just a moment. Anyway, we'll have Lane Grindle, Voice of the Brewers. You can go to brewers.com/vote, and you can vote as many times as you want. Voting ends tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time. And Aguilar hit another homer last night. Actually, so this continues based on the numbers I have here. 22. So last night's would make 23, I think. So you can get involved and go to there and vote. Brewers are hanging on to their lead. Things are going very well, and the there is also kind of a alliance that has developed, as I understand it, and I'm not sure if Lane knows about that details exactly. But between the Twins and us, we're trying to say, okay, let's get both Aguilar up there and the Twins, Eddie Rosary up there. So. Lane Grindle, voice of one of the voices these days, at least, of the Milwaukee Brewers, joining us by phone. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're terrific, and we're kind of excited that we might be able to get Jesus Aguilar on the National League team. What do we got to do?
vote. I mean, it's pretty simple. Get there, vote as much as you want, as much as you can. There's no limit to this. So you just go to brewers.com/vote. The Brewers have it set up really well. It's very self-explanatory. It's basically the Jesus Aguilar campaign headquarters when you go there.
Okay.
And you can vote as much as you want. Of course, you have to vote for an American League player as well. And so Eddie Rosario with the cross-state rival Twins is an option there for you, and he's had a great year. I mean, you look at the numbers, he probably deserves pretty strong consideration also. There is also, former Brewer Gene Segura on that American League ballot, but really, I don't think anybody's too concerned about that. They just want you to go vote for Jesus Aguilar. You look at the numbers, guys, it's pretty obvious who has the best numbers amongst the National League candidates in this final man vote. And I think Jesus Aguilar is doing everything he can to make sure he stays on the headlines and out in front of this thing, because he hits the two home runs on Sunday, the day that it's announced he's in the final man vote. And then he hits number 23 last night. So he's holding up his end of the bargain. Now it's up to the fans to go out there and vote him in.
Absolutely. Now, did we expect this kind of performance out of Aguilar early on in the season?
Not necessarily. I don't think it's totally shocking, because look, for him to be on this roster at the beginning of the 2017 season, he wasn't expected to make the team before the 2017 season. But he showed in spring training, and we always kind of downplay how important spring training can be for some of these things, because we look at a guy's major league track record when we're trying to put together a roster. But some guys can turn heads, and they can force their way into the conversation. And he did that in the spring of 2017. And last year, in essentially a bench role, he performed every time he was called upon. And he ended up with double-digit home runs as a bench player. We saw that huge power that he has. Coming into this year, the additions of Kane and Yelich and maybe moving Ryan Braun to first base, the question again became, can Jesus Aguilar be a part of this team? How will the Brewers keep him? Well, they basically just said, look, we don't care what it's going to take. We're keeping him on the roster because we think he's that good of a player. And he's proven to be that. And of course, the injury to Eric Thames happens in late April. Aguilar becomes basically the everyday first baseman at that point in time. And the rest is history. He's gone on to have probably the best season in the National League right now of any position player. I don't know that anybody saw it at this level, but certainly I think everybody knew the talent was in there and the power was in there. And it is one of those stories where it just took a guy getting a chance to play on an everyday basis to really kind of fulfill that potential.
Well, and these are the players that always generate a lot of interest. I know baseball is supposed to be about the pitching, but a lot of the fans like to see those out of the park homers, and Jesus is delivering on that regard. And obviously a key part of the Brewers being in first place right now.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he's really carried this team in a lot of ways. I mean, Lorenzo Cain's having a huge season. When you start breaking down all the numbers across the board, he's in the top 10 in almost every category. Offensively and defensively, he's the best center fielder in the game. Christian Yelich is doing exactly what the Brewers thought he would do. So there are other guys having great seasons and doing a lot. But the guy that has done the most, that has moved the needle the most for the Brewers this year, has been Jesus Aguilar. And he's done it in the least amount of games in some ways, because he wasn't even, again, in the lineup on an everyday basis until the end of April. He's a big personality, too, and I think that helps. You know, this is the guy that has a lot of fun playing the game. He smiles while he's out there all the time, really enjoys himself, and has fun with the camera after he hits a home run, goes into the dugout, runs that gauntlet, looks at the camera, gives it a face. And those types of things are what fans are drawn to. So he really is the total package in that regard. He's a much better defender than he gets credit for. Also, he made a play last night on a bare hand catch on an errant throw from Jeremy Jeffress, where I don't know how he did it. It was really an incredible display of athleticism and balance and concentration from Jesus Aguilar. This guy is legitimately putting together an MVP type of season. So it would really be very unfortunate if he's not in the All-Star game. The numbers definitely indicate that he should be there, and it really shouldn't even be a question.
Sure. Now, and he would join three Brewers already on the team, right?
Yeah. Just talked about Kane and Yelich. They're both going to be there. And then Josh Hader, who is probably established himself as the most dominant reliever in baseball this year. Very deserving as well is going to be there. And I'm still holding out hope that Jeremy Jeffress gets a call, because typically with the All-Star game, with pitching, sometimes guys will decide over the course of this week, hey, you know what, I don't want to go there and throw, so I'm going to bow out of this. And if somebody bows out from a pitching staff standpoint, I would hope Jeremy Jeffress would be one of the first calls that would be made, because he's also had a season very worthy of All-Star status.
Well, it's so fun to be talking about the Brewers in this regard again after a number of years of drought. Last year was a good season, and this year is a great season so far. Do you know what the record is for a team having the most people named to the All-Star teams?
You know, not off the top of my head. I know the Kansas City Royals had like 7 back in 2015.
Wow, okay.
When they were coming off a World Series appearance and loss in Game 7 of the Giants, and then they won it that year in 2015. And I think they had like 7 guys in 2015. I don't know if that was a record, but that's the most I can remember here recently. The Astros have had a lot last year. The Red Sox have 5 this year, I believe, but I can't think of the record off the top of my head. No, I apologize.
Not a problem.
It's a bigger number than 4. If the Brewers get 4 or even 5 in, it's a bigger number than that. But that would be great representation for a team that deserves it. In the Brewers and the way they played this year, best record in the National League.
Absolutely. So for those of us that don't understand the process quite as well, is Jesus's future here all based on the voting here, or are there other factors involved? And then should he make it? I'd sure like to see him in the home run derby. Is that a guarantee?
Well, the first part of your question, yeah, it's 100% fan vote for this. I mean, this is all on the fans.
So okay.
It is up to you. Anybody listening that wants to see Jesus Aguilar in the All-Star game, then it's up to you. You need to go out and you need to vote. You can vote as many times as you want. They make it really easy. I voted like 30 times yesterday morning. I'm yet to vote today, but I'm going to get to that. It's on my list of things to do. Everybody has to do their part. But it's up to the fans to vote for him. Now, if he gets in, yes, I would think he would get an invitation to be in the home run derby. It's up to him whether or not he wants to accept that. I would guess that he would accept it. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about that. I did talk to him yesterday. But right now the focus is get you into the All-Star game. It's not are you going to be in the home run derby
sure.
if you do get into the All-Star game. So we'll tackle that subject once he gets hopefully named to the All-Star game tomorrow afternoon.
All right, so people have until, if I understand the deadline, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, is that right?
3 o'clock central tomorrow afternoon, yep. So vote as much as you can. You get a free second. Log on, vote for Jesus, and make sure we get him to Washington, D.C., and then they will announce the winners tomorrow night, yep.
All right, well, fabulous. We'll make sure that everybody here gets out there on the computer and goes to brewers.com/vote. When you call in the next game, Lane?
Tonight we're in Miami right now, and we'll have Yoli Chacin on the mound for the Brewers tonight against Pablo Lopez for the Marlins, and hopefully the Brewers can get back on the winning track tonight.
Absolutely, we'll be listening for you.
You bet.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Take care, Lane Grindle from the Milwaukee Brewers. 5:35 pregame here, by the way, tonight. So brewers.com/vote. All you got to know, and you can go there and just bookmark it, and you know, anytime you're sitting at a, you know, place where you're going to sit around for a few minutes, bus stop, or waiting for somebody in the store, or sitting at home during a commercial break watching TV tonight, pull out your smartphone or your tablet or whatever. Put a few more votes in there for Jesus Aguilar from the Brewers.
That's all. I mean, it's that easy. You know, I think you have to register an email address, but that's okay. And then you can vote as often as you want. And there are some major markets with people in as well. I'm a Dodger fan, and there's a huge push to get Max Muncy in. So there's a lot of competition from major markets. So it would be great to see a guy who's worthy of getting in a smaller market, even though I'd love to see Max Muncy in. But, I mean, the numbers that Aguilar has this year are phenomenal.
Yeah, they are.
His OPS, which is your slugging percentage and your on-base percentage, is over 1. And great is 9 or higher, and he's over 1. And last year, in his part-time role, he was .837, which is in the top end of the good category. So
wow.
The kid can play.
Well, and again, when you go there, you don't have to know a lot. Just help us out here. Go there. And then you need to, apparently you need to vote for somebody in the American League as well. And so just look for the Twins player and, you know, Eddie Rosario and click him. Because my suspicion, this is going on both sides of the fence, so to speak. So as they notice Eddie Rosario's number going up over there in Twins country, they'll tell their people, hey, be sure you're voting for Eddie, but also vote for Jesus over on the National League side. And that hopefully will get them both there. So kind of fun. Just something to distract yourself from politics and all those things that are going on. All right. That's what we got for you this hour. Next hour, it's some open phone time for you. Wade Williams is going to be in after 11 o'clock, focusing on the facts about ICE, the latest controversial group. Congressman Pocan wants them abolished. Senator Baldwin says, wait, not maybe quite that fast. People across both sides of the aisle are talking about this and what their purpose is. So Wade will have focus on the facts about ICE after 11 o'clock this morning. But when we come back from our CBS News break, it's all on you. 608-752-4000, talk or text on your talk show on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.
All the news you can use on WCLO, Janesville, Beloit.